If I say there is hope for a complete recovery for people with a concussion, you say
100%.
And in fact, you didn't only feel it, you were outside the regular medical system because they were not interested in you.
Neuroplasticity actually opens you up to the world, makes it possible to develop, make it possible to rehabilitate.
Traumatic brain injury has been caused a silent epidemic for that reason, because it consists of changes and disabilities that are not obvious to other people.
If, as a physician, you felt you had nothing to offer a patient, then I think ethically you need to say, I don't think there's anything I can offer you. Maybe you should see Dr. M.
Historically, we have called these things mild traumatic brain injuries, which implies that, well, it may be a brain injury, but it's not going to have great consequence, right? And that's frankly not true.
Welcome to Concussion Stories, a live Yana podcast series filled with hope. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone in your post-concussion recovery journey. My name is Melanie, and I spent 6.5 years learning, experimenting, and training in order to find a way to heal myself from post-concussion syndrome. After making a full recovery by the end of 2018, I embarked on this mission to make the recovery journey easier for you. This is why I started this podcast, wrote detailed blog posts and downloadable guides, offer coaching, and also the course that I wish I had back when I was recovering, teaching you everything that I needed to know in order to make my recovery happen. On Concussion Stories, we dig deep while discussing hopeful stories of recovery, as well as the hard stuff in the messy middle. Let's dive right in.
This is the third and last episode with Eric Thelin, who specializes in neurointensive care after brain injury at Karolinska University Hospital in Sweden. In today's episode, we're going to dive into the world of blood biomarkers, present in both the acute and lingering concussion stages. We're also going to learn about neuroinflammation and where Eric thinks this comes from. This is Eric Thelin.
What we also need is more objective markers of chronic TBI pathology, because currently, I don't know how you have been handled by the healthcare system in the Netherlands, but there's probably been a few doctors that don't believe in your symptoms, or perhaps haven't really fully understood and thought, yeah, exactly, you're probably suffering from some other kind of psychiatric problems that is causing you somatic symptoms, and that is probably the reason. It's not your concussion, it's other issues. But if there were a perfect blood sample or some sort of test that could actually indicate that this is a structural brain injury and this is a psychiatric problem, and if we could triangulate these patients, we could very much more improve the sort of triage and the pathways in the healthcare system very early on for these patients. And I think that will help tremendously.
Yes, I think this is one of the coolest things that is emerging from standard TBI also, to be able to just pinpoint with a blood test, for example, what's happening with patients. That would be so easy.
Yeah. So that is exactly. And I did my PhD was on biomarkers in traumatic brain injury. So I'm also very glad that center has sort of embraced this as well. You need to follow up these patients for a longer period of time. You need to sample them in more chronic stages. Because I believe that this is something that we do, like in the patients with 10 to 15 years down the line in severe TBI. But these patients have major lesions on MRI, like half their brain is sometimes injured. And they're having severe problems today with maybe they can't move a hand or an arm, or they have severe cognitive problems, and severe fatigue syndromes. So they will probably have quite a strong signal in their biomarkers. But in a mild TBI cohort, you need to have quite a sample size, like center TBI sample size, in order to actually see a signal in all the noise. because mild TBI is also a lot of noise, considering that the trauma cannot in sometimes even be visualized on the current image if you use.
How then, because I know there's one marker that now is everyone's focusing on, right? But is it as close as that, that soon we know that one marker is mild TBI, so you do have a concussion or you will be at risk for post-concussion syndrome, or will it still take a while?
I think there will be two markers that will come out of this. There might be three. One that will sort of still be in this sort of the group that I care for in the neurointensive care unit. And that will be the protein S100B, which is currently employed in the Scandinavian guidelines to screen for patients that have mild TBI in terms of hemorrhages. So if you have below a certain cutoff level, you can send a patient home so you don't have to undergo a CT scan. But the two proteins that I think will come out from all of this in terms of post-concussion syndromes, this is the protein neurofilament light. Because already there have been studies that show that if you have elevated levels 2 to 3 weeks after an injury, this is a protein that's sort of being released. It continues to be released because that's a very long half-life in serum. And if you sample it like 3 weeks-ish after an injury, it has been associated to more post-concussion syndrome in boxers, for instance, or other close contact sport players. So I think that is the one for the milder TBI. But another interesting protein that has sort of emerged now is the GFAP, so glial fibrillary acidic protein, or as the Americans say, GFAP. And it's a protein that will probably replace S100B in the emergency room to screen if you have a hemorrhage or not in a mild TBI concussion scenario. But recent study also shows that in long-term patients, so a year down the line, it is still elevated in TBI patients. So I think that you have a sort of ongoing inflammation-ish protein in GFAP, and you have the post-concussion in neurofilament light, NFL.
Okay. And this is what do you say, layman's question. So
shoot.
Rookie question.
Yeah.
Where does this inflammation, do you think or do you know, in post-concussion syndrome come from? Is it the brain? Is it somewhere else?
That is a very good question, I must say. We don't know today. We know that there is an interplay between the systemic, the blood, the body, and the brain. We know it exists in other pathologies, such as multiple sclerosis. There is the body that the inflammatory cells come from the body and enters the brain. In traumatic brain injury, it is probably very similar, that there will be the microglia, which are the immune cells of the brain, and astrocytes, which also are immunocompetent cells in the brain, that will sort of activate and have an ongoing inflammation. But if they activate, they will also recruit migrant inflammatory cells from the blood that will then migrate over the blood-brain barrier and come into the injury. And I do believe that there will be an interplay by the brain inflammatory cells and the body's inflammatory cells. We published a paper on this a year ago in Journal of Neuroinflammation, and it was in severe traumatic brain injury patients, where we could see that patients that have pneumonia in the intensive care unit, they also had a device in their brain that measured cytokines, which is like a measure of inflammation. And the patients that then suffered from pneumonia, they had different levels of increased level of certain cytokines in the brain. So there is definitely an interplay going on how the patient is doing, at least very early on. But I think even in later stages, there is an interplay as well.
This is super fascinating. And I feel like this is the first time that I dug so deep with someone in the area of blood markers and inflammation markers. So I hope the listeners were interested as well. I really want to thank you also on behalf of the patients, because I feel it's really important work that you're doing. And even though it will take a long time for everything to translate all over the world,
oh yeah,
it's moving, and that's the most important part.
It is. And thank you for creating awareness about this pathology and helping people. I think it's very important. And your job needs to be acknowledged.
Thank you very much. I love doing it. That helps a lot.
This concludes the 3 Concussion Stories episode with Eric Thelin. With all my heart, I hope that their contents may help you. Please know that you may always contact me to ask or tell Eric something, and I will relay your question or remark.
Now I would love to hear from you. What do you take away from this episode? Is there something that you can apply to your life right away? Head on over to lifejana.com and leave your comment now. And if you want to hear and read more concussion stories, actionable steps, and inspiration, be sure to subscribe to the LifeYana email list while you're there, so that you never miss out on new materials we constantly make for you. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/concussionstories. Thank you for listening to this Concussion Stories episode by LifeYana. May you be well, and may you be happy.